This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
I've got Dr. Peter Hammond on the line that will give us some Christian perspective. Good morning, Dr. Peter.
Good morning.
How are you doing today, sir?
Well, throughout the Bible, commandments and warnings against idolatry are the most repeated of all. There's more denunciations of idolatry than any other sin in the Bible. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image. You shall not bow down to them, nor shall you serve them. Do not turn to idols. Do not make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And again we see in the Bible, thus says the Lord, repent, turn away from idols, set your faces away from these abominations. For anyone who sets up an idol in his heart, the Lord will answer him by myself. That's in Ezekiel 14. The second command is super important. And of course, the second command prohibits idolatry of polytheism, such as you get in Hinduism or the idols of Kali, before whom devotees used to offer human sacrifices, and Shiva and Krishna and Vishnu. Obviously, those idols are forbidden by the second commandment. But there's more than that, because obviously, we've got today sports idols, we've got political idols, we have music idols, we have sex idols, we have got Hollywood idols, they've even got TV programs called idols. And unfortunately, there's a lot of idolatry today. When I was a new Christian, I thought, you know, how could the people of the Old Testament be so stupid as to bow before idols of Baal and Asherah and Moloch? Well, it's not like we don't have our own idols today, and it takes a while. How could people in the Old Testament have been so unfaithful to the God who delivered them out of slavery from Egypt and carried them on eagle's wings and led them through the Red Sea and with walls of water on each side? How could they have lowered themselves to worshipping an idol when they'd been fed with manna in the desert and satisfied with water from the rock, following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? And yet, it's not like we don't do that sort of thing too. And again, we can see we've got idolatrous altars in our own hearts and lives, and so many people will put sports or entertainment or Hollywood or things like this above the Lord our God who redeemed us. And so again we can see God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is unacceptable for us to have an idol, and our modern idols are definitely undermining us. And do you think how many people will have a day appointed to, for example, honoring a political leader, but how much do they do for the Lord? They may think of, okay, 67 minutes for this political figure, but how much are they giving for the Lord God of Israel, the God who redeemed us, the one true God? And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. We need to be those who are faithful to the Lord. We need to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we need to repent of the idolatry in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. And where there's a physical idol, whether it's a CD, DVD, book, or whatever, we should break, burn, or bury it. We need to boycott hell. We need to repent. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the work, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, as we read in James 1, verse 21. So again, we can see the fruit of true repentance is to destroy idols. Whenever God's word was proclaimed throughout the scripture, we can see that there was a destruction of idols, such as when the gospel was proclaimed by the apostle Paul in Ephesus, and we read that the fear of the Lord fell upon them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And the people gathered together occultic materials and burned them. And as the fire of these accursed items went up, the fire of God's Holy Spirit revival came down. And time and again we can see the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be cut to pieces, but on whomever that stone falls, it will grind him to dust. That's in Luke 20. And Jesus is the cornerstone. And there's a great example of how this works in Russia. In Lubyanka Square in Moscow, about 900 meters northeast of Red Square, there's a huge statue, or there was a huge statue, Felix Dzerzhinsky, the founder of the Cheka, which later became the NKVD and then became the KGB, the hated secret police. That was erected in 1958, and that statue is directly in front of the Lubyanka, the notorious headquarters of the KGB, where many Christians were interrogated, tortured, murdered. Well, in 1991, that statue of Dzerzhinsky was removed and toppled, and a simple stone replaced it from the Solovetsky Monastery on Solovetsky Island in the White Sea, up in the Arctic Circle, one of the most remote places on Earth, the prototype concentration camp. The first communist concentration camp in the Soviet Union was in this remote monastery, and there they killed 95,000 pastors. And a stone from that concentration camp has been placed in the square, Lubyanka Square, where a statue of Dzerzhinsky once stood. And the symbolism of the victory of Christ over communism is striking, because whoever rejects the chief cornerstone, whoever falls on that cornerstone, will be cut to pieces. But on whomever that stone falls, it will grind them to powder. And this is the vision of Daniel, where he saw the vision of this great statue, the head of gold and the chest of silver, the stomach of bronze, the feet of iron, and the legs of iron, the feet of iron and clay. And then a stone struck that image, and it crumbled to dust, and the wind blew the dust away, and the stone grew to be a mountain that filled the whole earth, a picture of the victory of the kingdom of God. The day will come when the earth will be as full of the glory of the knowledge of the Lord as the seas are full of water now. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The question isn't, will you bow to Christ? The only question is, when will you bow to Christ? Today, in the day of grace, when the door to heaven is wide open, or then on the day of judgment, when the door to heaven is closed, when the day of grace is over? But every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, when will you bow to Christ?
Wow, Dr. Hammond, thank you so much for that encouragement and just that revelation as well that you've been gracing us with. May you have an awesome weekend. God bless you. We'll be chatting again with you sometime, same place, at another time. May you have a great weekend. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Peter Hammond, and that was natuurlijk die Christelijke Perspectief hier op Radio Die Saso Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. My name is Reggie Boyce.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 AM. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.